The landscape for research methods has changed incredibly, not just over the last few decades, but even over the last few years. A statement like that can sound obvious and even kind of boring, but as high school and college students transition into the knowledge economy, they face both advantages and challenges with how they find information and engage with coworkers as teammates. A study of U.S. employers and recent college graduates found that while young hires are pretty good at finding out information online and through social networks, they experience significant difficulty with traditional methods of finding answers, going through bound reports, picking up the phone, or researching with groups. The study, How College Graduates Solve Information Problems Once They Join the Workplace, was conducted by Project Information Literacy as part of a series of studies supported by the Berkman Center and the Institute for Museum and Library Services to discover how research behavior is changing. David Weinberger recently spoke with Berkman Fellow and Director of Project Information Literacy, Allison Head, about her research.
Our latest study question we raise is, what happens the day after graduation? This is something that we've wanted to do at PIL for a long time, which is information transitions from one complex information environment to another. In this case, the first in our passage studies, we looked at the transition between college, college campus, and the workplace, really their first jobs. This was a study funded by IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Services, which was interested in lifelong learning and workplace information literacy.
What were the findings?
The findings were interesting. What we did, I'll talk a little bit about the sample and why we did this study now. There's a group called the National Association of Colleges and Employers. And for the first time ever last year, they asked 244 employers how important gathering information and using information was in the workplace, as well as the normal topics that they asked in their survey, such as leadership, being able to communicate, these qualities that employers look for in college hires. And actually, that information skill came in fourth in their list of 10 items, which doesn't sound like much. However, it was weighted as very important. In other words, employers think that finding and using information is something that's really important in jobs. So that framed the study, and that was the basis. What we looked at in terms of the findings and the sample was, what did employers expect and need from college grads as far as information seekers? And then in turn, this was an exploratory study, as I said before, it's totally qualitative. It's really preliminary for us. We also did focus groups with students at four different institutions, including one at Harvard, actually, with recent graduates that were out in the workplace. So we looked at stakeholders from two perspectives, from employers, those who do the hiring, and then from those that are new in the workplace. Two-thirds of the sample had graduated within the last couple of years. But really, overall, I think the key takeaway from this study, when you ask about findings, is that the basic online skills that graduates discussed in interviews and had impressed employers and often dazzled them. And they were attractive enough to get them through the door and in turn to get these grads hired. But once the grads were on the job for a while, employers, based on our interviews, sample of about 33 from pretty big companies, Microsoft, Smithsonian, Mother Jones, Battelle, a big engineering company in the Midwest. What happened here was, once they were on the job, college hires were viewed dismayingly by employers who found that college hires actually lacked low-tech research methods that also are essential for the workplace. What are low-tech research methods? Really obvious, kind of old-school methods, like picking up the phone and also thumbing through an old annual report, maybe a binder with coding specs. So interesting as far as the gaps between the expectations of employer and be able to collaborate and engage with other workers in the workplace and obtain that contextual information. So it's not so much analog and digital, it's more social research skills versus kind of print and there was a real paucity of social research skills.
What sort of skills did the students come in with then? Is it possible to peg any of those skills to particular websites and services, like they're really good at Googling?
Well, yes, exactly. And in fact, employers complained and said these students are good at searching. They're quick. They can obtain answers. They're really not comprehensive researchers. They're not persistent researchers. But they're good at going online and using a search engine and coming up with some results in a fairly quick manner. And that's what they were good at. Now, what's interesting, David, is at the interview stage, employers really didn't probe or dig deeply beyond being able to just obtain information online. So when they interviewed, you know, these young, fresh from college hires, the question was, can you use databases? And can you use search engines? And most students said, of course. And the real standouts were ones that could say, and I can do PowerPoint, and I can mash up this content and do an Excel chart for you really quickly. And that's what dazzled employers. My takeaway from the study, which fascinated me, is that employers were mistakenly thinking that research competencies were the same things as digital competencies. Now, both are really two different things. Research competencies go beyond formats. They really deal with how to get information, how to analyze and evaluate it, and how to apply it. Strategies, not only skills. Where digital competencies really are more technical competencies, as well as, I mean, the formal definition extends as far as joining the digital culture and keeping up with it. Two really different things, but employers didn't have a clear idea and grasp of that during the interview situation.
Does this lead you to think, and I understand this is preliminary research, but does it lead you to think that educators have a job to do that maybe we're not doing sufficiently yet?
The implications of the study are pretty fascinating. Because for librarians, I'll start with each group here and the issues this study raises, because it raises a lot of them. For librarians, they're very committed to lifelong learning, yet they rarely measure it. It's a lofty goal. They're not quite sure what that is or how to measure it. Same thing with workplace information literacy. There's just not research out there. And when you look at the results, you think, wow, are we missing the market? How do librarians teach the social side of research? It's really not something they do, as well as educators. I think the question for educators is, well, we use teams all the time, and the workplace uses teams, and that's how we address the social side of research. But really, as one of the grads pointed out, teams are different in school versus the workplace. She told a great story about needing to develop an icon for a website that she was working on at the company in her new job. And she said, I did my usual hunker down routine. I stopped washing my hair, I wore sweats, and I just went to work every day and kept saying, I'll get the icon done. And her manager came over and said, you know, you're kind of freaking everybody out. And she said, what do you mean? I'm getting my work done. And he said, they don't understand the palette that you're working in. They don't know the color. They don't really know how far along you are. This, it really isn't teamwork. And she said, teamwork really was still somewhat solitary as she had experienced it in college. Another big breakthrough for her, which I think is interesting and kind of an additional finding, is in the group, she said, I had failed. In college, I never had failed. I had no idea how to deal with failure. So you see some interesting gaps there about the implications. I think there are implications for educators in how they're training students. I mean, really, from day one, education really does emphasize the print paradigm. And the workplace is really about contextual, experiential information and developing human networks, two really different skill sets.
It sounds like you may have also uncovered not just a difficulty in dealing with the social side of information, but in the stringing together of ideas, to see how ideas go together. It sounds like we have, at least the research that you did found students who were really good at looking things up, really quite wonderful at looking things up, and maybe not as good at putting what they look up together?
Exactly. People who study research, think about research, you think of expository writing teachers, librarians again, historians, scientists, so much of education asks questions around research and inquiry. But students seem to graduate with this tendency to find the answer. As one of the graduates said in the focus group, he said, really, what my job is about when I look for information and do research is to get from point A to point B and get paid for it now. So again, I think comments like that, and we heard a number of them, really speak to the fact that graduates come out of institutions, and we're talking about some really good institutions here, Harvard, UT Austin, come out of institutions, University of Puget Sound, often thinking about finding the answer, which really, if you think about the workplace, finding the answer, your whole job is about the question. It's not about finding the answer. I mean, if you found the answer the first day, you wouldn't have a job. So this was a huge problem for employers, and they really felt with time they could train students about really the iterative nature of research, which is interesting because if you talk to a number of educators, this is something that's somewhat of a holy grail for them as well. Students have a hard time with this cross-contextualizing of information and revising inquiry.
So it sounds like there are certain competencies that over time, as these graduates continue to enter the workforce, certain competencies that are just going to disappear.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it is a concern that comes out of the study. What's interesting is, what are these competencies? These are really old school competencies. As I said before, they're low tech. They're picking up the phone. There is a lot of documentation in the workplace that isn't online. There's even microfiche or old photos or notes somebody's taken in a meeting. That none of these things are online. But again, they have that contextual, experiential information and have tremendous value. In fact, as one of the employers we interviewed said, you know what graduates need to understand is that experiential information often has much more value than facts, figures, and theories. And are these competencies going to disappear with each group that comes into the workplace? It's a huge issue for employers because they've assumed that graduates have these skills and will demonstrate these skills. And what the study found is actually that is not occurring. These optimal skills, based on what employers are saying, are not occurring in the workplace. And employers, I think, need to move beyond assumptions they have about graduates and what they can do, especially as far as low-tech skills and what their processes are, and ask more directly, how would you answer this research question? What's your process? And therein may lie the solution.
It sounds like there's a gap between how these two groups think about what the competencies are, that one group is thinking about answers, as you say, you know, getting answers, looking things up, getting an answer. And the other is thinking about knowledge as something that comes not from you sitting with your keyboard addressing a search engine or a database, but rather as a social product, something that comes from engaging with others, whether it's online or on the phone or in the lunchroom. Are you seeing that in your findings?
Yes, actually. I think where knowing comes for employers, and what was really lacking here on the students' end, was knowing for employers was discussing with team members findings at certain points. In fact, one of the employers said, I just wish the new workers would look up and say, hey, this is what I found. Here, what's your take on it? And then the research would continue on and different questions would be asked. A solution here, and this was interesting, this came out of one of the companies, which was they found that to overcome this problem, something that worked really well for them was to take a seasoned worker, somebody that had really worked there a long time, and pair them with a new employee. And the new employee could be on the keyboard, what they were good at, and searching for information and talk about the results with the seasoned employer as they were found. And the seasoned employer could weigh in and say, well, we once looked at that problem, or that's an interesting issue, and that could help us with this kind of product development. So again, kind of an interactive process that makes you revise the search, and maybe the seasoned employer says, what else can you find about this?
I wonder if part of, I'm speculating here wildly, but I wonder if part of the problem is that having to ask somebody in the digital world is a sign of weakness. If you Google it. You know, if you can't get it out of Google, then you don't know how to use the internet. Whereas in the business world that you are investigating, no, they actually value that sort of social interaction. It's not a sign of failure. It's a requirement for success.
One of the more interesting things that I heard from the different employer interviews, which went on for about an hour and a half with only four open-ended questions, which gives you an idea they had a lot to say. But as one of the employers said, we're looking for all the possible answers. And when you go out and search, you know, be comprehensive. That's what we expect of these new graduates. And for the graduate, if you think of the paradigm they're bringing to the process, it's, no, I need to find the quickest answer as I can, because there's just unrelenting deadlines, and I'm not getting any feedback, but if I deliver the quickest answer, it's what got me hired in the beginning. So it's somewhat of a vicious circle.
What's the next phase of the study?
The next phase of the study is to take these qualitative findings and these trends and these surprises and to test them with a larger sample and use quantitative methods and try to actually measure when these different issues come up. As something that we heard over and over again, and this is a really easy thing to measure, is where do graduates go first for information? A number of them did Google a research question in the workplace. However, there wasn't an aha moment when graduates realized I could ask somebody in the workplace, and that was quicker than a Google search. Google was limited, and that was a huge breakthrough for them. How does that play out? And that really does focus on the transition process and how graduates become workers and how long that process takes and what are the breaking points when they realize Google only goes so far.
Allison, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
You can find out more about Allison, as well as her work with Project Information Literacy, at our blog, blogs.law.harvard.edu/MediaBerkman. This episode of Radio Berkman was produced by David Weinberger and myself, Daniel Dennis Jones, with the help of Francis Harlow from the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts.